Blog Talk Radio.
These are the last days. These are the days we need him the most. Our chances are slim now. Narrow's the way not chosen by most. This could be our last call. There's no tomorrow for holding on to. So let's hold on to the truth. Perilous times have come. There's already those in tribulation. The fullness of times won't be long. We're lovers of self more than lovers of God. And there's pride in the hearts of everyone. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. These are the last days, and we've been condemned by our own disregard for what inhabits our hearts. We're neither hot nor cold, but in our own eyes the temperature's right. Somehow we're living just right. We claim we have need of nothing, and yet we are poor, naked, wretched, and blind. We must be out of our minds. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. We need to repent and turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. Our vision is impaired. We're looking for gold that's everything but pure. Our vision is impaired. We're striving for gold that's everything but pure. We should seek wider raiment that our nakedness does not appear. To those who have an ear, I hope that this is clear. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. We need to repent, turn from my ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome, welcome, welcome to an End Time News Report broadcast with the one and only Sister Marie. Now, in the future, you can expect Sister Marie to be on Thursdays. We are moving her broadcast day to Thursday. That is more convenient for her, and we know that we will accommodate her. We appreciate Sister Marie. We appreciate her many years of service here, and she has truly been a blessing, blessing, blessing to us. You know, and Thanksgiving Day is coming up, and one of the things that we can thank the Lord for is for Sister Marie. She has truly been a blessing. Well, we're ready to do a part two of what we were talking about last week. We were talking about the creepers. Creepy people who creep into your church and bring in creepy doctrines, and they make you feel creepy. They're all around creepy people. And you're in for a treat today. Don't forget, Sister AJ is going to be in studio tomorrow at 2 p.m. to do her weekly show. And then on Thursday, of course, it's going to be Thanksgiving. Now, before I get into today's broadcast and bring Sister Marie on, I got some news yesterday. I don't know if you guys remember Sister Linda from North Carolina. Of course, we haven't been talking about her for a while because it's been a year since she passed away. It's been a year since Sister Linda of North Carolina passed away. Well, she was very close to her brother Kevin Morris. Kevin Morris is her brother. They were very, very, very close. And he called me 2 days ago, and then he called me again yesterday. And they have discovered cancer in his bones. Cancer in his bones. And tomorrow, Wednesday, he is going in so that the doctors can tell them what the strategy is to attack the cancer in the bones. He says it's very painful, and of course, you know, that's what cancer does. I mean, it just, cancer is just extremely painful no matter where you get it, whether in the bone, whether in an organ, you know, no matter where you get cancer, is just painful and destructive. So we need to keep Brother Kevin Morris in prayer. Now, Brother Kevin, like his sister Linda, is a seasoned Christian. He's seasoned. He knows the Lord. His daddy was a preacher. His mother was an evangelist. So, you know, Kevin, Brother Kevin and Sister Linda had a good, good, good foundation, but he is asking for prayer, and we want to accommodate him. He's our brother in Christ. We want to pray for him. We want to encourage him. He's going to call me once he leaves the doctor's office tomorrow. I'm expecting a phone call from him, like we did with Sister Linda, where we shepherded her and we were there for her. We're going to be there for her brother. And so let's keep Brother Kevin Morris in prayer. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister. How you doing, my sister?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real, real good. I wanted to say this on the air. We have an addition to the family. We have an addition. Ooh. Praise God. So now, of course, you're supposed to say.
Is it a person? Is it a person or an animal?
Yeah, it's an animal. It's an animal.
Oh, okay.
And I was waiting for that. And, of course, yeah. So my wife has been asking me if we can get a dog. And I was saying no, because, you know, we live in a house and, you know, when you have a dog, you got to have some acreage. You got to have, you know. And I was saying no. And then finally she twisted my arm enough that I said yes. Oh. So they went to pick up the puppy yesterday. And, of course, they picked up and you know, I always wanted to have another child. And and my mother-in-law, when she was alive, I would tell her, you know, Benjamin's coming. And she said, who's Benjamin? And I said, Benjamin's the next baby. And she said, tell Benjamin to stay where he's at. He don't need to be coming here. Right? He don't need to be coming here.
Yeah.
So I said, no, we need one more. We need one more. We need a Benjamin. So they picked up the dog. They named him Benjamin. That was kind of to appease me. Now, he's adorable. But here's the thing. They came back with two dogs.
Oh.
The deal was for one dog. They
Take
came
one,
back
get
with
one
two.
Free.
Right, because my daughter Rachel, she fell in love with another puppy, and she named him Bruno.
Uh-huh.
So we have
yeah.
Bruno and Benjamin. So I was yelling at them because they came home with two dogs. The agreement was one. And, of course, you know, by the end of the day, I was playing with both Bruno and Benjamin. I was just,
yeah.
you know, and then this morning, the dogs were whelping. You know, they were the dogs were, you know, just crying. And it was 6 o'clock and nobody was getting up.
Yes, exactly.
So guess who had to walk the dogs this morning? And it was 15 degrees. Me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Well, it's good exercise.
Yeah.
It's good exercise.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I want to know, what kind did you get?
I have no idea.
Okay.
There's supposed to be, you're going to have to talk to the wife about that because she negotiated. This lady had them, and I think they're a mutt. You know, they're half this, half that.
Right.
So I don't know exactly what they are. I know they're adorable.
Little or big?
They're going to be big dogs. They're going to be huge dogs. Huge.
Okay.
Which is a problem.
Great.
Which is going to be a problem.
It's a problem
because when you have big dogs, you have a big presence, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yes, I do.
And guess who's going to be walking around the neighborhood with a plastic bag waiting for them to deliver their presents? Me.
Oh, yes.
So,
absolutely.
You know, they couldn't get a little dog. No, they couldn't get a little dog. They had to get monster-sized dogs.
Right.
Couldn't get a Chico. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So one is very calm, very sedated. The other one is biting everything and chewing on all the plants
right.
already. You know, it is what it is. And so you pray for me because I said okay to one. They came back with two. And already, you know, I'm doing all this work. And not only it's not just the work, but when these dogs grow, they're going to eat a ton.
Yes.
So I already told them, you guys better get yourselves little part-time jobs because daddy's not feeding Bruno or Benjamin. You know, because if I have to feed them, that means that two of you don't get to eat. So
right.
that's what that means.
Daddy will be getting a part-time job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely.
Well, you know,
absolutely.
They have good days when they're younger. I mean, Chico is just old enough to be, you know, extremely well-behaved sometimes. But every now and then he'll get, you know, in one of his moods. I don't know what he does. He's very hyper at times. And he went in and cleaned out my purse. Now, I had money all over the room.
Wow.
I don't know what he ate. I said, we need to follow him around to see if he ate a 20 or something.
Wow.
You know, it's like, why did he do that? He's never done that before. And it just, you know, maybe, you know, he was just bored. I don't know. But they do that every now and then, and he's old enough to know better. You know, he's, like, going to be three.
Yeah.
So, you know. But, you know, they do do things like that every now and then. But if you need any advice, let me know. Pretty good. I've had dogs forever. So I, you know, just don't ask advice on what to do for things like that. I mean, you start trying to figure out what, you know, what happened? Why did he do that all of a sudden? You know, it could just be boredom and my purse was there, you know.
Right, right.
I took a picture of it and sent it to my daughter and she was laughing so hard. I said, I'm not sure what caused this, you know. But he hasn't done it since. You know, I mean, you know, I talked to him about it, he looked at me like, yeah, right. So I'm not sure what that was, but they have some quirks and do some things sometimes that are just absolutely hilarious, you know. So you'll have a lot of laughs,
a lot of laughs. Right, right, well, let's see.
Sometimes.
Let's see. Yeah, let's see what happens. I got to admit, they are adorable.
They are adorable.
So let's see what happens.
We get more laughs off the dogs than anything, I'm telling you.
They said, okay, now they need collars. They need leashes. They need we need gates to prevent them from going. I said, well, you're on your own.
Yep.
That's it.
Flea medication.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. Shots. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if they let them go and they get hooked up with some porcupines, they're going to have a vet bill, you know. Listen, I already told them if the skunk sprays them, I'm not giving them a bath. You know, that's so, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that will be fun.
Yeah. So
well,
I can't wait
to hear your adventure every week now.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what happens. Let's see. So we're doing
now when they dig
show,
on the floor.
I'm sorry.
I want to tell you something. You asked me once before. You said you were babysitting a dog, and you said the dog's digging on the floor, you know, on the carpet, it's got to go out.
Sure.
No, that's a sign it's trying to fluff up the carpet. So if you put a little blanket down there, a little towel, they try to fluff it up to make a bed.
I see.
You see them, they're making a bed.
Okay.
They don't realize the carpet doesn't fluff up like a bed.
Right,
sometimes.
Right, right.
So there's your advice. I know you went through that before. So
sure.
So
Listen, babysitting someone else's dog is different than from having a dog because, you know, at some point in time, that dog is going back with its owner.
Yeah.
This is different.
Right.
These two mongrels are staying here. Yeah. Yeah.
You're the owner.
That's it. That's it.
This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun.
Yep. And I've been saying no for years now because she's been wanting one, and I've been saying no, and now the one and then so she brings I'm in my bedroom, and she brings one dog, and that's it. Oh, look at Benjamin! He's so beautiful. He's so adorable. Then I hear barking downstairs. So what's that? Oh, I forgot to tell you, Rachel got one. What?
Oh.
So that one's Bruno. And I said, where you guys get these? And where Bruno? What's that? Bruno? But she wants to call him Bruno. I don't know. It's, you know, Benjamin and Bruno.
You know, they'll keep each other entertained, too. So it is good to have two, you know, the two, because they do entertain one another. So it kind of helps, and, you know.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
Let's see what happens. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see.
So
we'll see.
We were doing this fantastic show last week on the creepers and how this and how this garbage entered into this Baptist church there in Naples,
mm-hmm.
And really, really, really messed up the church until the church members got up and said, "We're not having this." The pastor,
right.
if I recall properly, the pastor punked out.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor didn't put up a fight. He submitted his little resignation letter and walked away, with nothing. And he put all the years of ministry to build up that congregation. And then
yes.
other people came in and they destroyed or trying to destroy the flock. So set this up for us.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I discovered last week that your classes were absolutely correct on this. It's a perfect example. You know, you can have a shepherd that feeds the flock well, which this
right.
one did. But if he doesn't protect the flock, he's just fattening the flock up for the wolves. And
that's
exactly
it.
What happened here.
That's
I
it.
I mean,
that's it.
Right on were you with that? I mean,
yeah. That's
exactly
what's
happened.
Yeah, you can be a great pastor, but if you do not protect the flock from the predators, all you've done is you provided meals
mm-hmm.
for the alpha predators that are coming to get your sheep. That's all you did.
Right.
That's all. So you were
right.
feeding the sheep in order to feed the predators, is basically what I want to say.
Right.
You know. So in the end, you were a bad pastor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, we were listening to an audio that's called Enemies Within the Church, and it was just released. And something interesting I've learned since the last audio, I found this interesting. The attendance at the premiere of this movie, we're only hearing part one, or part of
right.
part one, I'm not sure, was over 1,000 people at the premiere of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mainly charismatic leaders, not the crazy ones.
Right.
The charismatic, maybe Pentecostal, charismatic. And evangelicals who attended. The lack of Reformed attendees was astonishing when you think
right.
about it. My mind was blown away by that because this, mainly because it was a Baptist church, was for the Reformed church, you know, showing how
right.
the Reformed church was taken down. But yet the
right.
attendees, bless them, you know, that showed up
mm-hmm.
were part of the charismatic. And J.D. Hall said in his podcast that the closing prayer that was done by a charismatic was fantastic and truly Holy Spirit inspired.
Hmm.
That in itself is a miracle.
Right, right.
You know, coming
right.
from Reformed. And it's just, you know, it's not that the Reformed mindset sometimes do not believe that the gifts are truly in operation for today.
Mm-hmm.
So for a Reformed person to say that, you know, is amazing. And I think they got the shock of their life, the people that were Reformed. You know, they really felt that the Holy Spirit was in this, and he just said it was amazing, the prayer.
Right, right. Right.
So, our goal here is to see.
I'm sorry. Every now and then, the charismatics do surprise us. Every now and then.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they did have a lot of. They were excited to take this back into their own church. So what we're seeing here is there's a segment of the church that, you know. I would call the charismatic believing in the gifts, you know, and evangelicals. There's a segment here who see this. It's not just the Reformed church. They see it everywhere coming into their churches, and they're taking a stand against it. And that, you know, we're not talking about, you know, the crazy evangelicals, okay? Because we know that there's evangelicals who are not crazy. in their
right.
churches. I mean, they showed up for this, not to, and we're not talking about, you know, the NAR group or anything like that. None of those people. But there's good pastors out there in churches that are not Reformed churches.
Right.
And they showed up. They wanted to know and stop this and see what they, what was going on. So they showed up for that. I found that interesting. So in a nutshell, what this is what we've been talking about all along. It's Marxism, wokeness, Leninism, and this, the main goal of this, these people is to destroy this church and society. They want to destroy true Christianity. So they get into the church, they creep in, and they creep in. Not only did they take down certain portions of the Southern Baptist churches, but they're taking down other churches around the world. You know,
right.
This is a non-denominational thing. It's, you know, so their hope is to bring, you know, we know that we're the salt and the light. You know, we're the brightness and the preservative of truth in society. And these people hope to bring that down and replace it with darkness. And so that's the goal of this. And one of the things I noticed last week was these, they smite the shepherd. They replaced him with a hireling. He then, you know, fills the place with predators who prey on the sheep.
Right.
The sheep are pressured to conform to the hireling. And if they display any resistance, the hireling keeps upping the ante of pressure to break them.
Right, right, right.
You know, so the sheep that cannot be broken, they're the ones that are belittled and ostracized, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the church.
Right.
So when they take over, and the takeover is complete, it didn't happen in this case, the remaining people in the church are like the goat congregation. And I'm going to say, explain that. The ones that came in under the new leadership, you see, because these churches, once these people come in, they introduce things that are comfortable for everyone within the church. You know, there's no guidelines. There's no rules. You know, they open the door to everything to come into the church, and you get the people following that believe in that. You know, they get a whole new congregation. These
right.
churches can go from 10,000 to 20,000, you know, if you let everyone into that church, and you're sitting under pastors who are introducing things that are not biblical. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's a comfortable church for them. So that's the goat congregation I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the sheep leave eventually. So in this case, what we saw was the pressure that the abused flock endured. So they were told they had to conform to the new thing God was doing, and the leadership
right.
that they presented. They had to change their moral stance on biblical issues. They had to admit that there that they were something that they weren't, okay? And they were told that they needed to make personal changes to conform to the changes that the church has made, you know? So at that point, it becomes a cult, you know, cult-like setting. So
right.
what say you before I move on?
Listen, we are in dangerous times. Think about what Jesus said in John chapter 10, right? We addressed
mm-hmm.
this last week when we talked about the thief and the robber, because some
right.
of the members in this video said, you know, we didn't anticipate, you know, that when you're dealing with the church, you have to deal with the criminal element in society. Well, Jesus mm-hmm. warned us, right, about the thief and the robber. And then
yes.
he talks about, then Jesus talks about the porter, right, in John
mm-hmm.
10:3.
Yes.
He says the porter opens the door.
Yes.
Right? So pastors mm-hmm. are porters.
Yes, they are.
You cannot give access to everybody to the sheep. You have to act like a filter, right? You have to say,
yeah.
no, you can't come through here. And that text that you picked, right, where it says
mm-hmm.
that the false teachers creep in unaware, and that is because they know they can't come through the front door because there is a porter. The porter
yeah.
is going to say to them, who are you? Show me some identification. Oh no, you can't have access to the sheep. So they climb
mm-hmm.
in some other way.
Yep.
They tunnel under, or they go through a side window where the porter is not.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, that's like this show, right? Now, you've been doing this show for years. And what have you been
mm-hmm.
doing? You've been telling people, hey, watch out. Don't let this
yeah.
group into your mind. Don't pay attention to the teaching in this group. Be careful of that
mm-hmm.
person. We basically put, you know, we put up, you know, beware signs on so many different preachers, right? And we're trying
yes.
to warn the church.
Yep.
These people, listen, they're not coming for half the church. They're coming for everything. That's how dangerous they are. They're coming for
yes.
everything.
That's
for
true.
For everything. That's what they're coming
this
for.
This is serious stuff.
Right. They don't play nice.
Serious.
They don't play nice. They
yep.
play for keeps. And they are ruthless. They're
yep.
nasty. While you're praying, they're down at the bank changing signatures on the bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
While you're praying and saying, Jesus, show me what to do. No, he already showed you what to do in the Word. He already showed you. What
yes.
are you praying for him to show you? He already showed you. Protect
yep.
the sheep. And meanwhile, while you're praying to Jesus, they're over there gaining access to the money.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's
conning
right.
people, conning people into supporting their move, and their move is to kick you out. So these are dangerous people, dangerous. Look, it's like when you introduced us to the drag queens reading at
mm-hmm.
the public libraries. What parents
yes.
in their right mind would give a drag queen access to the little lambs? Who? But to your shock,
think of any.
To your shock and my shock, the place was packed with little kids.
Yeah.
With a drag queen, even one drag queen says, come on, jump on my belly. That pervert, they had a kid jumping on the pervert's belly.
Yeah.
I said, what? I said, the mother and the father of that child, they need to be locked up.
Really?
Right? So think
yeah.
about it. I mean, it's not just on a church level. Now these people are also using public facilities to get
mm-hmm.
you to bring their kids to them so that they can condition them into thinking that a drag queen is okay.
I mean, this is an agenda, people.
Right.
This is a worldwide agenda going on right before our eyes. We need to pay attention to this. And, you know, we need to watch how we walk and where we walk with these things.
Sure.
It's tricky. It's tricky.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember that series that you did that they had? I don't know. I can't remember if it was the Masons or, but how they were collecting DNA, fingerprints, and all that. Remember that show you did? That
yes,
report
I
that
do.
You did?
I was
right.
just thinking about that today because there's a case out there and, you know, and there's a child missing and they seem to have a lot of the Masons in that area. And,
right.
you know, and I thought about that. I'm going to be honest with you, just today.
Right.
I thought, I wonder how many people are aware of this DNA thing.
Right.
You know,
and,
that they do.
Right. And so you don't have, you as a parent, you don't have the DNA, but you're taking
mm-hmm.
your child over there to give up his
yeah.
DNA to these crazy people. You don't know what they're going to be
yep.
doing with that. You don't know if they're, again, you don't know if they're looking for, okay, who has the best DNA for the best sacrifice?
Yeah.
Right? I
yeah.
mean, that's how the
yeah.
wheels turn in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we voluntarily taking our children and just offering them up as lambs for the slaughter? Giving a grandparent.
We're giving them to Moloch. That's what's
that's
happening.
That's it. Right. That's it.
You know.
That's it. So whether they come to the church or they encourage you to take the little ones to them, either way, you can see this agenda, like you said, is just global.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just
yeah.
everywhere now. It's you can just see infiltration everywhere. Either they come to your
yeah,
house
and we were...
or they invite you to their house. Either way, they get into you.
Think about it. For years, we were talking about this stuff, and we didn't, I don't think, we knew it was coming down the pipes. Still in our mind, you think, okay, I'm not sure how easy this can happen. You know, looking
right.
at society, and it, you know, they pulled it off basically overnight. But we saw this when we go back to the drag queen, all this stuff, you
right.
know, the governors, you know, the representatives supporting this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been on this for a long time. And it just so happens that it just hit overnight, you know, basically
right.
overnight.
Right.
So, yeah, it would have been difficult even, you know, 2 years ago to say, okay, I wonder how they're going to pull that off. And, I mean, we did shows on that saying how
sure.
are they going to, you know, we were saying, okay, we have so many kings. If you just practically look at it, how is it that these people turn their government over, you know, to the beast? How could they do that? And
right.
now we look at that a few years later and we say, well, really easy, you know.
Real now it's real easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
now we can see.
So,
now we can see how it's happening.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Look at all these people now
yep.
that have been getting checks. Stay home, we'll give you checks. Stay home, we'll give you checks. Well, now,
mm-hmm.
In this last bill that they signed or the thing they're trying to make into law, Biden wants to do that for all of 2022. He wants to continue for next year. So now
yep.
what happens? See, this is what's happening. You get used to that easy money, and then to get off of it, you know, after you've been a bum for 5 years, after you've been sleeping at home for 5 years, getting a paycheck, and then when they say, okay, either you get the mark of the beast or you go back to work. Well, people will say,
yep.
give me the tattoo. I'll take the tattoo.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yep.
Because now you
right.
condition them. That's it. It's, you know.
Yep. I was just going to say that. It's conditioning, isn't it? You know.
Yep, that's it. Right.
With all
that's
this
it.
Is.
That's
no,
it.
Nothing
that's
comes
it.
For free. Nothing is free. Remember
no,
that.
No, nothing is free. And like,
you know,
like you, yeah.
Except
you
salvation,
saying,
you know.
Yeah, well, yeah,
kind
of course.
Disclaimer there.
Exactly,
you know.
exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so where do you want me to start the audio today?
Okay, well, we did the enemies within the church, and I think where we left off, the flock, who are still fighting, were told that they were racist now. They're upping the ante.
Right.
Because they wouldn't accept a woke pastor who
mm-hmm.
was LGBTQ affirming as their new
right.
leader of the church. They said, no, we're not. So they said, okay, now you're racist.
Right.
So they're like, what? So last week we were at, I think, 30, and you said, I want to start this next week at 20.
Yep.
So that's
yep.
what you told me last
right.
week. I wrote that down. So Let's go.
All right, let's bring it back to 20. Okay, here it is. And this is where they're beating up on this poor lady. Here it is.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want to me, you know, and at the end of the day, they can even take my life. That would be my greatest privilege, to meet Jesus face to face as a martyr.
I watched Neil Dorrell publicly shame one of the members of the church and tell lies about this woman. And when Marcus and Mandy were up there, they actually took part in that, in my opinion, because they laughed and stood there while the whole congregation laughed.
And your objections that he also read aloud were very concerning. He endorsed a book, and do you know that the name of the book was?
Woke Church.
Woke Church.
And we heard Marcus himself say that the
heart of the gospel,
the heart of the gospel is
social justice.
Social justice and reconciling the races. And, of course, we greatly differ with that.
Of course.
You know, Christ came to reconcile God with man.
Right. It's
right?
A false gospel.
Yes.
Because it tends to tell people that they're victims.
Yeah.
But the real gospel tells everyone Jesus is the ultimate victim.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the villain that put him on the cross.
Amen.
It's a real dangerous twist of the gospel.
That's a works-based theology.
And if they're up to something and we've chipped in on their little plan to sneak somebody in into the senior pastor role of this church, not going to happen. It's not going to happen on my watch. And I made sure that I came in and voted. And we voted, and they didn't get in.
Marcus Hayes, a highly respected and a well-qualified pastor, remains the man that we believe God has called to be our next pastor. Church leadership does not believe that all who voted no did so based on race, but it is undeniable that race played a part in the final days leading up to this election. Racism has no part in the body of Christ, and never more so than First Baptist Nathan. Disciplinary action towards church members who have violated our church covenant by causing dissension, disruption, and spreading of misinformation are underway.
So within 48 hours, there was the call, the vote, and John Eadie's letter went out. I call it the cancer, racist, sickness letter. A public letter to the SBC, which ended up, parts of it, on the front page of our paper above the fold, calling members of his own church a cancer and a sickness and racist. I cannot imagine a pastor sending out a letter with that language about his own sheep.
Well, because he's not a pastor. See? Just because somebody...
Yes.
Jesus said, look, wolves are going to come, and they're going to be in sheep's clothing. So Jesus didn't say, call them sheep. He said, no, call them wolves.
Yes.
And that's what so when somebody like that, you're not a pastor, you're a wolf. And everybody should say,
right.
Wolf, wolf, wolf. And he wants to shame the sheep? No.
Mm-hmm.
We're the sheep, you're the wolf.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. But pastor is that? What kind of pastor? He does that to his own sheep. He's not a pastor. He's not.
Yeah.
And stop calling him one.
It's a shame that the sheep had to fight. You know? It's a shame that they had to go into herd mentality to fight against this, you know,
right?
While the pastor, you know, let this in.
That's
it's a shame.
Yeah, but it's survival, right? It's
yeah.
You know, you're gonna do what you need to do because you need to survive.
70 people, I think, voted against Marcus Hayes, and when John David came out that it's because they're racist, you know, we've got an orphanage of 43 children in Africa, We're not racist.
Remember, we're foster parents.
You're foster parents.
And we're adopting.
And red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight.
Yeah. We get them all. We love them all.
We're all one race from Adam.
I mean, there's not one person that I know in that church that is racist. I was born in England, raised in Kenya in Africa, and lived 5 years in South Africa. I had 24 years living in Africa. And I left South Africa because of apartheid.
You left because of apartheid?
Yes.
You hated the mean-spiritedness
right.
against the African people.
I was raised in what was then the most multiracial country in the world, in Kenya. In South Africa, everything was segregated. The buses, the beaches, the trains, you know, the stores. They couldn't go into the hotels unless they worked there. They were
starved. And you hated that?
Absolutely, I hated it.
And you hadn't even met the Lord yet, but
no.
You knew racism was evil.
As soon as I was able financially to leave South Africa, I left.
And then you come to the United States, you find Jesus at First Baptist Church,
yeah.
You serve, you love, you have a new family now.
Love my
and then
the
next
Wicca family.
Thing you know, you're being accused of being a racist.
Yeah.
Racism is something that everybody at First Baptist Church knows is evil.
Absolutely, 100%. If people at First Baptist were racist, do you honestly believe that we would have so many different ethnic people coming to our church and feeling comfortable? I know those families. And those families bled for that church. And those families only stood up for what was right, according to the Bible. Had nothing to do with color. Had nothing to do with his personality. He did not fill the five qualifications that the search committee was doing on over 100 other people. And because that regime could not handle the truth, were afraid of the truth, they figured, we'll just excommunicate them. But they did not realize how many people are behind those families.
Knowing the people that were excommunicated, have you identified anyone that you would say could legitimately, under any evidence whatsoever, be called a racist?
None of the people I know.
When you asked if we saw racism in the church, we hadn't all these years until this came up. As soon as they called these people racist, we had a really good friend and deacon, fellow deacon, come up to my husband and say to him,
Mike, be honest. If you as a cop, a law enforcement officer, saw two cars, one filled with black men, one filled with white men, which one are you going to pull over?
Come on, Mike, you know.
This is my friend. I've served with him for how many years? And I looked at him and said his name. I'm going to pull over the guy who violates the law.
I'm reading a book right now, Removing the Stain of Racism from the Southern Baptist Convention. Have you ever read that book?
I haven't read it, but I'm aware of it.
Yeah. Well, I've read the book. Some of these black teachers in the seminaries, I empathize with some of the thoughts. I mean, one of the Jarvis Williams, I was reading his bio. He teaches at Southern. I know what he went through as a kid.
Yeah.
I know that. And I have empathy for that.
Sure. But you didn't do it to him.
I didn't do it to him. No, I did not. I did not. And there are better ways of bringing about true justice.
And they're redefining justice on something that's not in the scripture, and that's a problem.
And I understand where these people come from. I've had some really racist experiences during my life growing up, you know, that just really turned my heart to understand something about racism.
What people go through.
Yeah.
So you have sympathy.
I do.
For people who've suffered from racism.
I do.
But you're not a racist.
No.
The pastors are not claiming that they terminated these 17 members through a Matthew 18 process. Nor do they claim they are obligated to use Matthew 18, but they terminated 17 members all within 48 hours of the Marcus Hayes vote.
We happens, what you do is you sue these people civilly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You sue them.
Yeah.
You say, listen, I'm going to sue you because, first of all, you just got here.
Mm-hmm.
You as a leader, you just, that Eddie guy had just gotten there, right? He was only there a
right.
few years. I've been here 30
right.
years. So I'm going to sue
right.
you for my time. I'm going to sue you for all the money I put into this church because I am
right.
a contributor, and the financial records will show that. I will sue
mm-hmm.
you. I will take you to the cleaners. You're going to be homeless when I get through with you.
Yeah.
See, and if only enough church people would do that.
Yes.
And what the 17 could have.
They program people to think that you should not take. Remember, it's another Christian to court. You should try to work things out. It's another Christian, not a
right,
wolf.
But,
you can take a wolf to court.
Right, but
they've been programmed.
But here's the thing. The guy just said they did not use the Matthew 18 process.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So you give that tidbit to the lawyer. Wait a minute. There's a process in the Bible by which you – hold on 1 minute.
Rachel, what is the breed of the dogs?
Okay, thank you. The dogs are half boxer, half husky. So going back, look, wait a minute. I didn't get due process. In America, you are entitled to due process, right?
Right.
In the church,
yep.
you're entitled to due process. I got no due process. I'm suing you. You were the ringleader. This committee, every ringleader is going to get sued. And these people in Naples, they have money. They
yeah.
have money. This is not a poor side of town. This is not somebody from the projects suing a pastor in the projects. No, these people have money.
Right.
And you sue them.
Yeah.
And when they say we want to settle, no, we're not settling. We're going to sue
right.
you till it hurts. You
yeah.
told us to give till it hurts. We're going to sue you till it hurts. That's what you do.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, the whole issue is this pastor came in, and at first he tried to introduce that homosexuality was okay, and then
right.
he promoted BLM in the church, you
right.
know. And when you do that, when you introduce the BLM element too, that's Marxism. We know that for a fact. So they said no, and now, you know, look what it came to, because they said no. I mean, you know, they
sure.
would not vote this new pastor with those, you know, they were not biblical
mm-hmm.
Principles.
Sure.
And they stood up for what? The Word of God. That's it. Now, imagine not only being condemned in front of a whole congregation, you can just get up and walk out and say, okay, but then to be labeled something you're not, that you've never been, and then to make it the head of the newspaper for the SBC, for every church in the Southern Baptist Convention to read about you. Imagine that. That's a lot of churches and a lot of headlines.
Right, right, right. But you're
saying no.
Correct.
They put the scarlet letter on them, you know?
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely.
And it made headlines. Then it made headlines. And I remember reading the headlines and the whole thing were, well, they were, you know our news media. Well, it had to be over racism. You know,
sure.
they made it about racism, nothing about the pastor.
Right.
Amazing.
Sure. Absolutely. Here's
now, we know racism exists. We know that.
Absolutely.
But you should never see that in Christians. Never.
Right.
You'll not see
a
real Christian who's a racist. You'll not. That's a
right.
real believer. And, you know,
and,
I mean, I'll,
And the issues here was not racism. The issue was the guy was bringing in false doctrine.
Yes.
He wants us to accept the gays. We're not accepting mm-hmm. the gays as newborn yeah. believers. They're not. You can't be gay and be born again. I'm sorry.
Right. Right.
You know, that's, it is what it is.
This woman followed Ephesians 5:11. She exposed them, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, she followed that principle, and, you know, this is, so what I'm saying is, look for this in the future. This is a technique that's going to be used in churches. You know, they'll get you, and you know, there were a lot of different ethnic groups in that church, and you know what? If they voted no, they were labeled too. They were labeled. So,
yep.
And
yep.
there were people that voted no, and they were labeled. So think about that. It doesn't matter. This agenda is what matters to them. That's it.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Yep.
Here we go.
Okay.
Going down in flames. Slandered and abused
yes,
publicly,
yeah.
And the response of the Southern Baptist Convention leadership was to agree with it and applaud.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the response that came out of the Southern Baptist Convention, specifically J.D. Greer? How did they respond to that letter?
I was very disappointed in his response that they were so happy that First Baptist Church is taking care of the racism in their church, you know. And I just wrote a letter and I sent it to several people, leaders in the convention, that I was around back when we went through this issue of inerrancy of the scripture. I was involved in it on the church level, and that I love the Southern Baptist Convention. I've been a member of the Southern Baptist Convention since I've been a Christian, since 1968, and that it was I was very disappointed that they would immediately endorse what had been said, and I just asked them to come talk to us.
Our church has a mantra, move forward. I actually believe that we should move backward and deal with the sin, because I think that's biblical.
J.D. Greer personally responded,
I can't speak for those people, I don't know them, but I gotta believe that they're in that movement, because if they weren't, they would have come down to First Baptist. They would have had a moderator. We would have had a good business meeting. And let me make this really, really clear. I would not be sitting here talking to you right now if, in fact, John David, who, if he had nothing to hide, he would have had that business meeting. We would have operated as Christians. I mean, for Pete's sake, this guy's a pastor. He knows the Bible better than I do. The problem is he doesn't follow it.
We have two pastors that are co-executive pastors, I think. We have been flying John Aiken back and forth. The remnant of believers have been scattered. Right now, our pastoral search committee, I don't have the exact quote in front of me. They have a quote on our website that they are looking for the next generational pastor who appeals to all ages and cultures. I've asked, what does that mean? 6 months into our budget, we're $1.2 million off budget. I don't know how they're going to regroup after the quarantine. That's how the church has been functioning.
It's broken my heart. Some days I just don't even want to go to church there anymore. That would be wrong. I need to stay strong and see this through. But my morale is just in the tank right now.
When I last communicated with the deacons, I said, I'm praying for you, but but know this, I'm praying for pain. Because I want you, I want not just the deacons, I want the whole church to fall on their face before God and say, oh God, we have sinned. Please forgive us. And please do not remove your lampstand from our church. Because when that lampstand is gone, we see in Revelation, oh, this is not a good day for the church. And so
there's a really
serious
danger.
We have hope.
Woe to the one who scatters my sheep.
Amen.
If they came in front of the church and said, this is what we did, and we are truly sorry, and we repent for those things, and we beg your forgiveness, and then they need to take a seat. They don't need to be involved in the administration of the church anymore. I think that they would be forgiven and welcomed as members of First Baptist.
What should be done about the 18 persons who were excommunicated and publicly slandered?
Just as publicly as they were slandered, they should be apologized to and welcomed back into the church if they won't even be there anymore.
I believe all of them would come back because it's going to get back to the Bible. And these families are Bible-driven, and they believe in repentance. It would be a great sign of healing, of bringing the church back the way it was. Because when Hayes ran that church, it was by the Bible.
I don't want to see other churches go this way. This will destroy the church in America.
My wife and I were having a conversation last night, and we're seeing how far to the left the church is now going. And I'm looking at her and I'm saying,
American church.
America's church. Is it us? Are we abnormal or is the church abnormal? Did we move or did the church move? Do we need to move with the church? And she reassured me, no, we have not moved and we're not going to move. The church is going to the left and we need to...
Please don't.
We need to be truthful.
Yes.
There's an absolute truth.
Yes.
And we're not moving. Paul?
It reminds me of what the Bible says in Genesis, right? When
mm-hmm.
Abraham and Lot separated, Abraham stayed right where he was.
Right.
He kept following the Lord, and then Lot kept getting closer and closer to Sodom.
Yes.
See, Abraham stayed with the Lord, but Lot did not.
That's right.
See, and it's the same
right.
thing today. As long as we stay with the Lord, we're safe. The moment
mm-hmm.
you keep going towards the left, you're in danger. You're just
absolutely.
In danger. And that's what we see happening today. This is why we're doing what we're doing here on the air. Who's gonna give us a platform, Sister Marie? Sister Marie, who's going to invite us to their really? Come on. Who wants
no.
to hear what we do every week? Who wants this?
Yeah.
The church doesn't want this.
Yeah.
The church wants
no.
just miracles, gold dust, smoke
uh-huh.
machines, taking,
right.
you know, kicking people in the chest. That's what they want. That's what they want.
Well,
and all that's all crazy stuff.
They're going to end up, I mean, this is the thing. It's time to get serious. Really serious. And if you listen to the music, the opening music, Repent, I mean, he wrote that song. Brilliant. The wording
right.
of that. I mean, you know, it's absolutely follows scripture. And don't be found in Laodicea. That's all I have to say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the angels left their first estate. You
sure.
see? We're warned
yep.
about that.
Absolutely. Listen, that's it. There you go. They left their position, right? Had
yep.
they stayed there, they would have been fine, but they left. They're the ones who moved. God never moved. They moved.
Yes.
So.
And the thing I'm proud of with this is they were worried. I mean, these people in there were worried about the lampstand being removed. It's pretty sharp, you know. They knew that if that was brought
mm-hmm.
brought in, the lampstand would have been removed from their church. I found that amazing that they knew that. You know,
mm-hmm.
Well, of
sure.
course, they're pretty good with the word, but, you know, they understood that right away. A lot of
right.
people can go to church for years and sit in these crazy churches and not understand that the Lord's already removed the lampstand from that church.
Right.
There's nothing there. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just a point I picked up. That's all. All right.
Absolutely. Okay, here's more.
Peter, any of the apostles, they always solve their problems by going back to Scripture. Just thus saith the Lord, the Word, and that's going to be our standard.
That's really the call of our movie. We're calling upon Christians all over the world, get back to the Bible,
yes.
get
mm-hmm.
back to the
yes.
fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jesus. He's taking care of me. He created me a fearless warrior. And he didn't do that for nothing. Spiritual warfare is 24 hours a day. And the Bible warned us about false prophets coming into the church. What is it they don't understand about that? I have no idea. Do your homework. Stop just coming to church on Sunday or Saturday night. Study Scripture.
Do you miss the church?
I do. I miss my friends there. We stood for the Lord. We stood to protect you and your families and your children from what's coming.
For my brothers and sisters in other Southern Baptist churches, if you think this cannot happen to your church, the left is counting on you to think that way. They are seeking the redistribution of churches. You watch. They are looking to redistribute successful churches to pastors who've worked in unsuccessful churches, because the left redistributes. They can't redistribute competence. Marcus Hayes took his act down to Crossroads Baptist. Conservative believers were contacting us, frightened, reaching out, help us, what do? Send us the tweets, send us Marcus Hayes' support of the book Woke Church. They were pulled into their pastoral leadership and instructed to stop. It was over so fast, it's unbelievable.
Agreed to have his name put up for president of the convention next year. Every one of these woke young pastors have some connection with Al Mohler. They came from Southern Seminary. They were part of this or that, you know, and I don't know. I have a great concern, and I don't know where he is right now. I honestly don't. I mean, when I read erasing, you know, taking the stain of racism out of the convention, how do you do that? Is this the way you do it? Through social justice? Reparation? What are we going to do? What do we do now?
It just breaks your heart to think that you can't trust your leadership anymore because they've got their own agendas.
There is a concentration of power, and it's being wielded. To me, biblical Christians believe in diffused power and divided authority. Biblical Christians don't believe in revolution. We believe in reformation. We believe in restoring back to the original. Darkness doesn't exist because of darkness. It exists because of the absence of light. And the light is disappearing from our churches.
Excellent. Now, is this part one?
That's part one. Part two, I think, will be on the entire audio will be on sale within a few days, I would say. It's not even out yet. So we got a glimpse of this. We got a preview way before this was released. I've had that since 2020, November 2020.
Okay.
And they just finished the documentary. They just finished it. So that's why they had the premiere. They completed it. And so, it will be out shortly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. I'm not sure even what platform it's going to be out on. Is it going to be out on a live streaming platform? Are they doing DVDs? I'm not sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to hear it before it even comes out. Part one, yeah. I would like to see the rest of it, you know, what's going on. And J.D. Greer and Russell Moore is Eddie Munster. He looks just like Eddie Munster.
Yeah,
he's finally left SBC. You know, they've proven to be Marxists, in my opinion. I mean, there's just no doubt. Things went down when Greer got in and Russell Moore in the SBC. So, that's amazing. It's amazing what's happening in our churches. But this is because we've done so much on the agenda that's going on, I felt it was important to show it. This is exactly how it happens in these churches. You know, I thought it was important to show this and you know, expect this in your church. If your church is not solid or run by a gold standard preacher, this is what you're going to get.
Right.
So do you have anything to speak about on that? Because you're doing classes. This fits exactly. What you've taught in the classes is exactly what we need to avoid, you know, where this is going to happen. As far as I see, is there anything you want to say?
Yeah, all I can say is that God, in His grace, saved this church. God, listen.
Yes.
The Bible. This is what the Bible teaches, right? Let's look at the Church of Thyatira for a moment. Let's look at the Church of Thyatira. Okay. Jesus speaks to the pastor, the angel of that church. He says, I got this thing against you. Well, what is it? Okay. You allowed this woman, Jezebel. You allowed her to take over. Okay, now.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor allowed Jezebel to teach the people, to indoctrinate them. And then, and the first step is indoctrination. The second step is seduction. You taught them and you seduced them. You taught them and you led them astray from me. Okay, so now, since the pastor was there physically, but he was there in body but not really there in presence.
Mm-hmm.
Since the pastor did nothing, then Jesus himself had to show up. He says, I'm going to show up and I'm going to deal with her because you failed to deal with her.
Correct.
And this is what you have going on here. See, the pastor, I don't know what happened to the pastor. I don't know why the pastor ran and he just allowed his flock to be taken advantage of the way he did. I don't know the man. I just know
I think it was like 30-some years, wasn't he, pastoring?
Right.
So, you know, maybe he was just needed to retire. Don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you retire being a pastor anyway? You because you'll always, if you're a pastor, you're always a pastor. You'll always be a pastor.
Especially, especially when you see your life's work being flushed down the drain.
Yes.
Right? I mean, think about it. You worked all these years to build up that congregation, to cause that congregation to be the sheep of the Lord, and they're following the Lord. And now you're just going to run and take your little severance check and just, I'm out of here?
Right.
That's going to be the extent of your fight? That you can be paid off? that you can be treated like a hireling. Here's your paycheck. Hit the road. Is that the way you? He went down. All 39 years of ministry were flushed down the toilet when that guy took his last little severance check and hit the road.
Yep.
That's good. So Jesus had to step in here like he did at the Church of Thyatira, and he had to put a stop to this abuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Lord does. If there's no pastor, if a pastor is not willing, Jesus will step in himself because he is that great shepherd.
Yep, that's Jeremiah.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
Know,
that's it.
I'll
that's
take,
it.
I will pastor my sheep. See, that's kind of an example of that, you know. He steps in. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, the thing is today we have so many weak pastors. That's the bottom line. We have so many, 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 many weak pastors. They're just, you know, they're sissies. They're just chumps, sissies.
Latte.
Yeah, you know,
latte sippers. That's what JD calls them.
Yeah.
The latte tight jean sippers.
Yeah,
Latte sippers with the tight jeans.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
You know,
with the tight jeans that are high water, you can see their bobby socks. What pastor wears bobby socks? Bobby socks are for girls. What are you doing with bobby socks on?
And with
penny loafers with an actual penny. I mean, you know you're gay if you're wearing penny loafers and you got a penny in there. That's a dead giveaway.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, we're in trouble here. We're in trouble.
Sure. I've had two very nice people, very, very nice people. Former students of mine. I would say this was done like 10 years apart. Two different people gifted me a pair of penny loafers for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't worn them. They're for gays. Sorry. Sorry. You take the gift, right? Oh, thank you so very much. Okay.
Right.
But
yeah,
I'm not wearing penny loafers. I'm sorry.
Right.
I haven't seen
a penny loafer in years.
No. Sorry. Sorry.
Well, look, they got the top tennis shoes now, you know.
Listen. Yeah. I know things have changed. I know things have changed, you know, with style and all that because, I mean, when I was a kid, they made fun of you if you wore high water pants, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Your mother doesn't know how to do laundry? Your pants shrunk? Why are your pants so tight? Right? What's the matter with you? Why are your pants so tight? Are you sending us a message?
No.
Right. Well, no. That's in style again? That high water pants and tight pants for Pat, that's in style? You're gay. I'm sorry. Something's wrong with you.
Yes,
something's
exactly.
wrong with you. That's it.
Yeah, well, that's the whole agenda. This whole gay thing is a part of the agenda. You have to, you know, people need to understand that. This just didn't happen in our culture, you know, overnight. This has been an agenda for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take that back to Aleister Crowley. You know, he writes out that whole agenda. And so this is all a part of the plan, you know.
Sure.
It's amazing, but you have to think about it, how long this has been going on, forever. And it was just, you know, it's something that's been going on for so long, and it's just starting to manifest now where we can see it, you know, actually see what's going on. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yep.
Okay, we have another audio, and you may have to get through advertising on the page to get to the audio in the bottom.
Okay.
And this is Bodhi Bacham. And he destroys leftist talk show host who is also a BLM supporter, as he tries to twist Jesus' parable. And the talk show host is Rashad Ritchie.
Okay.
Bakum Body, let me tell you something. You know, I wondered about a few things that Body went to, a few conventions or whatever. But when the rubber hits the road, bodies, you know, came back.
Sure. All right. Here it is. It says here, Vadi Bakum destroys Rashad Ritchie and exposes BLM or Black Lives Matter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger in Christian evangelical circles has a significant following. Our next guest is actually no stranger in Christian evangelical circles has a significant following. His name is Dr. Vadi Bakum, Dean of Theology, has an extensive educational background, including postgraduate study at the University of Oxford, England. Doc, thank you for being on the program. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your time. You know, you're kind of a mixed bag to me. You may not be a mixed bag to yourself, but you are in a
circle. I'm a mixed bag to most people.
Yeah, you are. You're in a circle of Christian evangelicals, but you also said some things that were quite contrary to Donald Trump. You called him an immoral leader, which, as you know, many of your colleagues in the Christian evangelical faith, they kind of dismissed, not kind of, they did dismiss morality as a prerequisite to leadership as it relates to former President Donald Trump. But there are some things that I would like to discuss with you on the record. Let's start with the social justice movement. I believe that church should be a place that expresses and transforms policy because of its value system. What are your thoughts about the Black Lives Matter movement?
Wow, that's two very different things. The Black Lives Matter movement is very anti-church. It's very anti-Christian. It's a Marxist organization that was started explicitly as a Marxist organization that had openly anti-family and openly anti-Christian sentiments. Those sentiments had to be removed from their website because people found out about them. So if you're asking me about faith and Black Lives Matter, I would say that the two are mutually exclusive, especially from a Christian perspective.
Okay. Let me put it to you this way, because I think what you're doing is connecting an organizational structure to the movement structure, and here's where I bring them back together. There's a movement to emphasize Black lives. And that doesn't mean those individuals are part of the organization Black Lives Matter. And there are some definite positives that Black Lives Matter, they've been able to work and negotiate with various governments around the country.
You mean in order to enrich themselves personally?
Well, let's go ahead and get into it, brother, since you posed the question. In Minneapolis, it was actually Black Lives Matter, the organization, who brought the attention to the murder of George Floyd. They
actually,
not only
the video
brought,
that did that.
Well, sir,
they,
remember.
They didn't do that. The video did that. There was no need
brother,
for them to do it because the video
brother,
was
give
out
me
there.
A moment, brother. If I was a guest on your show, sir, I would be respectful. We only have a certain amount of time. Not only did they bring in the organizers to help with the creation of protests and rallies and marches, they also negotiated with officials, including the mayor of Minneapolis. They're the ones who contacted Benjamin Crump directly. I'm friends with Benjamin Crump. They did something very similar in the city of Atlanta. They negotiated a new plan for policing in the city of Atlanta by meeting with Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. They did something similar in Miami, L.A., and also New York. That was the organization. Now, the organization, they typically would take a step back once the public gets involved. And you saw white women, white men, children, brown folks, black folks are marching in agreement that black lives should matter. So let's talk about the social justice movement of Black Lives Matter. If Jesus was here, do you think he would say Black Lives Matter?
Well, if Jesus was here, he would say Lives Matter. I know, for example, if Jesus was here, he would say that the black lives that are being obliterated in the womb matter. And as a Christian, I believe that lives matter from the moment of conception all the way to their moment of natural death. Okay. And so I'm absolutely committed to lives mattering. But I will not be held captive by an organization that has used that terminology in order to back people into a corner and cause them to live with this cognitive dissonance between the organization that, again, is antithetical to biblical Christianity,
okay,
and the idea that people, regardless of who they are and where they come from, matter. I'm a Christian. I believe people are made in the image of God and have inherent dignity, worth, and value.
Let me go to a statement you made about Jesus would say all life.
This guy is getting such a he's getting such a behind whooping. It's not even funny.
I know what. He keeps cutting Body off because Body really can tell you, and he can smile at you, Body, and
see,
beat you up
again. This guy, this news guy, is a parrot.
Yeah.
He's a Polly wants a cracker.
The movement.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, again, he just gave him an example. If Black Lives
mm-hmm.
Matter, why is it that they don't speak up against abortions of blacks in the black community? Let's start there.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's start
no,
there. Right?
He's not going to give them an opportunity.
Right? And as Christians, you know, all lives matter.
Absolutely.
All lives.
In fact, I would say that, you know, if you can show me biblically, bro, where one life is different to another as far as God, no matter what your race is, I'll give you $500 after the show's over. You know, honestly. All lives to God matter. And
for
I
God,
can tell you right now,
yeah.
we are all descendants of Adam and Eve, period.
Right.
You can't bash one, be a Christian and bash one side and, you know, say you're wrong and you can't bash the other side either. You just
right.
can't do that. You can't
right.
go either way as a Christian on that. And,
correct.
I mean, if you could find a scripture that shows me that that's okay, I mean, I would send that money over in 15 minutes.
Right, right.
I'm telling
right.
you. There is no scripture in the Bible that says that one person can do that or the other side either can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
you can't on either side, black or white. Or Hispanic, or, you know, Asian, you cannot do that in the Bible to one another as Christians. There is no scripture that would endorse that.
Right.
None that I've ever
right.
found.
Correct.
If you have, you know more than I do. Have you found that? Am I,
nope.
Is that a safe bet?
It's a safe bet. Listen, you can up the ante. You can make it $5 trillion. You're gonna give them $5 trillion because you're not gonna find.
I don't
the
have
scripture.
$5 trillion.
Well,
I don't have
can,
five
listen,
trillion.
Just do what Biden does. Just print it. Just print,
yeah,
it.
Print it. He will
that's
send it.
It. Right. That's
yeah.
it. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying. So don't, you know, when we get into this, when people say, well, that's, you know, that's a different issue. And you notice right away what that talk show host tried to do. It's exactly what Virgil and Daryl told us. They try to
right.
separate the movement from the idea or, you know,
right.
the movement. They're saying, okay, this is the thought process behind the idea.
Mm-hmm.
However, the movement is a different entity. You can support the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would all support that idea, but we
right.
would add all lives matter to that. But, you know, he's trying to separate it and make it two different entities. That's
correct.
What he's trying to do, and they're one and the same. So.
Yep.
Okay.
And yep, okay, here's, I'm going to put it back a little bit, just because Vadi's giving it to him, and he's screaming. Okay.
Yep.
Lives should matter. So let's talk about the social justice movement of Black Lives Matter. If Jesus was here, do you think he would say Black Lives Matter?
Well, if Jesus was here, he would say lives matter. I know, for example, if Jesus was here, he would say that the black lives that are being obliterated in the womb matter. And as a Christian, I believe that lives matter from the moment of conception all the way to their moment of natural death. Okay. And so I'm absolutely committed to lives mattering. But I will not be held captive by an organization that has used that terminology in order to back people into a corner and cause them to live with this cognitive dissonance between the organization that, again, is antithetical to biblical Christianity, okay, and the idea that people, regardless of who they are and where they come from, matter. I'm a Christian. I believe people are made in the image of God and have inherent dignity, worth, and value.
Let me go to a statement you made about Jesus would say all lives matter. Remember the parable of the sheep, brother?
Yeah, actually, I said Jesus would say lives matter.
Do you remember the parable of the sheep?
You corrected me earlier for interrupting you. I'm going to correct you now for misquoting me. I said,
brother,
Jesus said lives
matter. Okay, that's fine. That's a distinction that doesn't make a difference. My question to you was, would he say black lives matter? And you did not agree that he would say black lives matter. That was the genesis of my question. So my second question to you is, do you remember the parable of the sheep?
Yes.
You're a theologian.
Yes.
In that parable, Jesus talks about walking 100 sheep, and then one goes astray. The parable goes that the 99 are stopped, and attention or emphasis is placed only on the one. While we know through just a sense of humanity that all of the sheep technically matter, it's the sheep that has been put in this ditch that the shepherd stops everything, pauses everything to pay attention to that one. And see, I believe Jesus would have said black lives matter, because if you go to a community, brother, and you're looking at the deprivation in that community, there's an emphasis that needs to be placed on making sure we have economic equity, making sure that we have social access, making sure that we have reforms in policing and criminal justice, because those are the biases that we've been living under. So that would be the sheep in the ditch, brother, and the shepherd would pay attention to that one, as the parable says, when Jesus spoke it. You don't agree with that?
Not at all, because you completely misused that text. The parable is one of three parables that were told together: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The emphasis there is on the fact that the Pharisees did not celebrate when individuals came to faith in Christ. So you absolutely obliterated the meaning of that text.
Well,
the other thing is this. The other thing is this. I don't believe that black people...
Wait a minute. You said I obliterated... Wait a minute, Doc. You said I obliterated the meaning of the text.
Oh, you get to finish, but I don't?
Well, I don't have unlimited time with you, brother, and I can't
exactly
let you just blow me all the time.
So
you made an accusation.
If you made one, you wouldn't let me get in. I'm saying you misused text, and you won't let me, your guest,
well, go ahead and tell me how I misused
text after you finished.
Go ahead and tell me. You got to be quick, though, brother. How did I misuse the text?
You misused the text because you allegorized the text in order to pour your meaning into it, when Jesus very clearly used that text in order to say something very specific. You don't get to change what
he
meant by that.
What were the specifics of the text?
The specifics of the text were the rebuke to Pharisees because they were not celebrating when people came to faith in Christ. It didn't have anything to do with economic equity. The economic equity...
Let me give you my understanding of the text.
The talents makes it clear that Jesus was not about economic equity.
Brother, listen to me, brother. Allow me. Okay, I got you. I understand. You noted your rebuttal on the record.
Taking the one talent...
Got you, Doc. I got 3 minutes with you, brother. So here's my understanding of the text. The text not only was talking about those who are Pharisees, which will be the religious government structure of that time, but the text was also about the judgment that individuals had toward people or toward those who were coming into a new understanding of who God was or who God is to them, because the Pharisees were judgmental to the believer. Because I don't have unlimited time, let me ask you about the social movement Black Lives Matter again. Do you think the social movement of Black Lives Matter is a bad thing, or do you think it's a good thing?
No, I think it's a bad thing.
Tell me why.
Number one, I think it's dividing people. Let me go back to what you said earlier.
But people are already divided, brother.
Are we going to be equitable since you're about equity? Can we be equitable in the way that we communicate with one another?
I got one minute, man. Go ahead, Doc.
So what I'm saying is, by the way, I love this.
Yeah, it's good.
What I'm saying is that if you go to those cities that you mentioned, yes, BLM got involved in Minneapolis and Atlanta, and the crime rate skyrocketed specifically because of the things that they got involved in.
All right, that's
you have
true.
What's called this Ferguson effect. It was absolutely true. Anybody can go and look at the crime records
Dr.
before
Bowles?
BLM got involved and after.
Okay, all right, I got to come to a close. My producer gave me the rap sign, but I do want you to remember that in places like Baltimore, where Black Lives Matter had a strong presence as well, crime has actually decreased by double digits. Arrests have decreased by 39%. Incarceration has decreased by 28%. Murder and violent crimes has decreased by 12%. You can go and get those stats. Two university studies did that. That was based on a coordinated effort between Marilyn Mosby and a reimagined prosecutorial format, and they've been able to decrease crime. Now, you talk about the rise in crime. Yes, some of these cities have seen a rise in crime. But you want to blame Black Lives Matter for the rise in crime when you are ignoring the fact that police officers called in with the blue flu, that cops refused to respond to calls, that executives in law enforcement and executives as politicians
well, why should that matter?
That
because
these
Black Lives
cops,
Matter wants to defund
cops
the police.
Unwilling to actually police.
Black Lives Matter wants to defund the police. So
they
got
want
exactly
to deprioritize the budget.
No, sir.
Let me give
they
you
want
an
to
idea.
Defund
Let me give
the
an
police.
Idea. Let me give
defund
you an idea to consider.
Defund.
And they should defund
it's
it.
It's a radical Marxist idea.
But think about
to the
think
heart
about what
of
saying.
The
okay, I got to wrap, but think about what you're saying. Places like Ithaca, New York, 51% of the 911 calls did not even require a cop. They required a social worker. So Ithaca, New York decided to respond to their community and start hiring mental health social workers to respond to 911 calls because that is what the community said we actually need. But before I let you go, brother, you go around the entire world, literally the whole planet, and you preach what you call to be truth. Do you tell the white evangelicals you preach to they need to get rid of that picture of white Jesus?
I tell them they need to get rid of pictures of Jesus, period, because
well,
it's a violation of the Second Commandment.
But I think Jesus
a
is okay.
A picture of Jesus is a violation of the Second Commandment. So I don't want to see any pictures of Jesus because it's a violation of the Second Commandment. It's
but
a graven
you
image.
Tell them to get rid of their
it's
white
a graven,
Jesus.
It's a graven image. They need to get rid of it. There shouldn't be pictures of Jesus.
Doc, I got to bring you back on. Then we have more time. But I appreciate
I would,
you, man.
I would
You're
love
good
it.
Sport, brother. All right? Thank you, sir. I appreciate
it. He kept saying, I got 1 minute, I got to wrap it up, and he went for 10 minutes.
Yes, exactly. Oh, he got a heavy hitter there on that one. Well, he figured, this talk show host figured, he's black, and he figured he'd bring Buddy in, and Buddy would just agree with him on this issue.
Right.
You see?
Right.
But, no. Buddy took a biblical stance on it, you know.
Sure.
And he hit pretty hard. I mean, when he could get a word in. He tried to drown
guy,
his body
yeah.
out.
And every time, Buddy was going to, he says, I got 1 minute. My producer's telling me to wrap it up. And then he would go on for 10 minutes to talk about the give his crime statistics. I can tell you right now, Baltimore is jacked up. Ain't nobody going to
right.
Baltimore. Nobody wants to go.
Right.
In fact, What's that clown's name that wears the bow tie? What's that fool's name that is now the pastor over there at Eddie Long's church? Mr. Jughead himself. What's that
I don't know.
Name?
I didn't keep up with that.
Okay, that's Dr. Jamal Bryant.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Why didn't I think of that?
He used to pastor a church in Baltimore called Empowerment Temple. And as soon as a church in Atlanta became available, he shot out of Baltimore. He left Baltimore
right.
in the dust.
Yep.
He said, bye-bye, Baltimore.
Yep.
There's no money here in Baltimore. There's a lot of money in Atlanta. And he jumped
right.
ship. So don't
wow.
tell me about, because even the black preachers don't want to be in Baltimore. Even the scam-arting preachers don't want to be in Baltimore.
Right. Wow. What about that, what he said about Ithaca, New York?
Nonsense.
That we're going to call it.
No.
Okay, now visualize this. I just had this thought when he said that. You have someone breaking into your house, and you're telling me that it's better to call a social worker to come into the situation and talk, you know, a social worker instead of a policeman?
I tell you what, social worker, people are going to call. Let's say somebody's breaking into the house. They're not calling. The social worker's called a rifle. That's
yeah.
A social worker.
357.
There you go.
45.
A shotgun. That's the social worker.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to do that up here. No, sorry. And
yeah,
again,
promoting.
Yeah, I'm not for taking lives. I am against taking anyone's life. But people are just going to do what they need to do to protect their family and their possessions. Right? And that's
absolutely. Yeah.
So, this.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm sure Vody is used to having people like this, try to stop him or talk nonsense when, they're losing the argument. The guy is getting his can kicked up and down the street. So,
right. Well, they don't want people like Daryl or Virgil or Vody, you know, any of these people against that movement for the Bible. That's their nightmare. You know what I mean? And they're heavy hitters, all three of them.
Right.
They're heavy hitters. They do not want strong, biblically sound men, you know, standing up. And that's what, you know, those three are.
Right.
And so that's a threat to them. That's a big threat to this movement.
Sure.
So we praise God for these men, you know, who are standing on the word of God and defending the faith over, you know, society, what's happening in society. They're saying, no, that's not what the Bible says. They're taking a stand. And it's hard for them, too. Think about it. You know, it's hard for them. It's not hard because of the word of God, but I mean, you know, how many times is he going to be invited on a leftist show? Never.
Yeah.
I'll have you back, brother. No, he won't.
No, he won't be
back.
No,
he won't.
He won't be. No, no. The producer.
He's never.
First of all, it's a YouTube channel. There's no producer. That's like if I say, Sister Marie, the producer's telling us time is up. There's no producer here. There's no producer. It's a joke.
What's your dog's name? Your new dog? What's his name
Benjamin
again?
And Bruno. Benjamin and Bruno.
Benjamin says time is up.
Right. Benjamin says it's time for Daddy to walk me. It's time for Daddy to walk me and to pick up my mess, because he's been told now one of his new duties, and on top of all the other duties he's got to pick up my mess.
Yep. Oh boy.
Crazy.
Oh boy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You take those doggy bags now with you wherever you go. See?
Sure. Sure. And it's not the kind of doggy
bags
you want. Yeah, it's not the kind of doggy bags you want. No.
Mine, they're so tiny, I don't have to worry about that. You know, I really don't.
Absolutely,
I mean, you do pick it up, you know what I'm saying, but it's not like it's, you know.
Yeah, it's not like it's super disgusting.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I found this whole thing amazing to end this audio. I just really felt we needed to get this out there. I mean, it's so clear what's going on. And with these people, taking over these churches. And we had a perfect example of how they did that. And
right.
And we know that these things are, you know, will be coming to your church unless
Absolutely.
You have a solid, solid pastor. So I'm seeing, you know, the strong men especially, and women, but they're strong men because that one
right.
woman took it in
right.
the church. She really took it hard.
Sure.
But you see
sure.
the sheep taking a stance now against this, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
you're seeing the persecution starting, this type of persecution. I mean, it's not physical at this point, but you know what I'm saying. It's starting. You can see the separation of the sheep and the goats. All this is coming down the pipe. And we're witnessing that right now. And,
sure.
you know, what was there, 17 that stood up? Think about that, 17
yeah.
people.
17 out of several thousand.
Yes.
Right?
That's the remnant. Yeah, that's the remnant, right?
That's it. That's it. They got blacklisted and thrown out, tossed out, like if they were garbage. And but you see, that happens because... When they start doing class action suits against pastors, you're going to see all this garbage come to an end.
Yeah.
That's
Unless
it.
They change the law, the wording of the law on certain things, you know. And I think that that's a part of what's going on right now. Okay, we're going to make these things mandatory. Okay, it's against the Constitution. Then they'll say, well, what we'll do is we'll change that, you know.
Right.
Until then, we still have rights.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
You know, we still have rights. So it's important that we keep those rights and take a stand why we can on certain things. And, you know, even in the church, it's not... You know, you have rights in that church. You do. If you're a member of a church for 30 years and they're throwing you out on for no reason, and then they're tarnishing your name, you know, and degrading you, and they're doing it in public, I mean, take note of that.
Well, that's what I said.
There are things you can do.
Yeah, that's why I said now you take this person and you sue them civilly.
Yes. You're
right.
Right.
You're gonna say, listen, I'm not suing you to send you to jail. I'm gonna sue you so I can take your house. That's what I'm
yeah.
suing you for.
That's defamation of character.
Yeah. I'm coming after the money you're gonna make. You're gonna be when you
right.
make money, you're gonna be paying me. That money that you make goes directly to me. That's what I'm coming after.
Right. I mean, can you control that outside the church? I don't know. You know, there's laws against it, you know, right now. But what do? You can't, you know. I guess the best thing we can do is just pray about this and thank the Lord that we do have the freedoms we have right now.
Sure.
You know, to
sure.
be able to do things and, you know, wake up every day in our own home, be grateful. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving, and I do want to wish all my brothers and sisters a blessed Thanksgiving. But, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for right now in this country.
A lot. We have so much to be thankful for. And before I forget, you sent me something here on gay pastor tells stripper she doesn't have to stop stripping to serve. Can I play that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Quality on that audio was poor. Did
yes,
you make sense
is.
Of what he was saying? Did you?
Well, he was just
barely...
basically telling her that, you know, you don't have to give up your stripping job. It's a job, you know, in the church. You don't have to do that. And that is a bishop, by the way, in the black church.
I've yet to
figure out who he is.
I think... I could be wrong. I think that's O.C. Allen.
Oh,
O.C.
Okay.
I think. I'm not sure. His church is in Atlanta. Atlanta is known as Gaylanta. I think it's Bishop O.C. Allen, which the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops acknowledged him, and then they wanted to take the acknowledgement back because then they found out he was gay. But he said, "If you try to take it back, I'll sue you." So they let him have the gay. So now, of course, the picture is so far away, and the audio I could barely make sense what they were saying.
Yeah,
but
basically, that was it. He was endorsing. It's okay, you know. It's a job. That's a her job, a stripper.
Right.
You know.
Right. Sure.
How dare you go against
how
dare
that? You. That's her job. Yeah, that's her job. Leave her alone.
Yeah.
Leave her alone.
I found
Leave
it interesting because it was, you know, one of the bishops that was promoting that. And I had a question mark. I'm not sure what church or what bishop. Question mark.
Right.
And I thought, well, bro will know.
Well, again, the camera is very far away, so all I know is that the guy has like a mohawk. From what I can tell, he's got some kind of a mohawk hairdo.
Right.
O.C. Allen has that kind of a hairdo.
I'll look it up.
The other thing
is, if we can get a better audio on that.
Yeah. The other thing is O.C. Allen is gay. Flaming.
Right.
Flaming gay.
Wow.
If the gays had a superhero, it would be him. I think, again, I don't know.
Well, why
would
they kick him out? I have a question. Why would they kick him out with that flaming one that was doing Eddie Long's flag or whatever it was, rap on the coffin?
Right,
he
because
was
that guy, yeah, because that guy has never said he's gay. See,
what?
Now you can now, yeah, the guy that was fixing the guy that was fixing Eddie Long's flag
pecking
has never
order.
Come out as right. He
Is
he never
the pecking
said he was,
order guy.
Right, that's the pecking order guy. Now he's never confirmed. He's you know he's never come out the closet and said he's gay, but he does wear penny loafers.
Really?
Yeah, he does wear penny loafers.
I mean, my goodness.
So, yeah.
Oh, he's never confirmed it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they don't. They, you know, as long as you don't say you're gay, as long as you know.
Oh.
Yeah. Now the joint college won't kick you out, but they listen. They know that there's gay people in that organization. They know it. They know it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it doesn't
so they just have, right,
genius
they have to keep up
to figure it out.
Yeah, they have to keep up appearances is what they have to do. They have to keep up appearances. So, you know,
well,
they
need
to be
keep him behind the camera then if they're trying to
right.
keep up appearances.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, great show.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. And let me go walk the two mongrels I just inherited.
Oh.
So you have the last word.
Well, I look forward to hearing from you how the dogs are doing. Send some pictures. Don't forget to send pictures.
Right.
And I'd just like to say again, I'd like to wish all my brothers and sisters a blessed Thanksgiving. Have a great day. Remember, we have a lot to be thankful for in this country. All right? Have a great day. Bye.
These are the last days. These are the days we need him the most. Our chances are slim now. Narrow's the way not chosen by most. This could be our last call. There's no tomorrow for holding on to. So let's hold on to the truth. Perilous times have come. There's already those in tribulation. The fullness of times won't be long. But lovers of self more than lovers of God. And there's pride in the hearts of everyone. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. Lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. These are the last days, and we've been condemned by our own disregard for what inhabits our hearts. We're neither hot nor cold, but in our own eyes the temperature's right. Somehow we're living just right. We claim we have need of nothing, and yet we are poor, naked, wretched, and blind. We must be out of our minds. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. and horn. Our vision is impaired. We're looking for gold that's everything but pure. Our vision is impaired. We're striving for gold that's everything but pure. We should seek quieter raiment that our nakedness does not appear. To those who have an ear, I hope that this is clear. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned.